Robin McCarron.
He is sounding off, drunk, in the middle of the road in a snowstorm, wherever he is.
Jeff Hawkins.
They give them a big middle finger!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
I honestly would have rather gotten a DUI tonight.
Wow.
People can't even walk the street because they never know who in the world they're going to beat for that lean, mean green. The OJs for the love of money. Yes, we bring back the oldie for the Money in the Bank previews, which is this week, by the way. For the record, I prefer Tanahashi Naito to Okada Omega. And for New Japan, I'm getting Billy Gunn. I'm sure Rob wants to go there. But if he doesn't, we'll always have Twitter.
It's the final thing on the checklist.
Somehow I knew it. This week, an awesome Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar brawl and not much else. John Cena is back, and he's a free agent on Raw. And yeah, I think you should read a little bit something into that. Bayley and Sammy, I'm terribly, terribly sorry. Here's something that might blow some people's mind. This week marks the 30th anniversary of the recording of Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. Wrestling connection, it was the original theme for the Steiner Brothers. But the thing that may blow your mind if you are one of the older listeners, or maybe if you're not, of Shake Them Ropes, is that right now, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, is the same age as the Everly Brothers' Wake Up Little Susie was when Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle came out. That blows my mind for some reason, Rob. Any thoughts or no?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Who the hell are Guns N' Roses?
Really, fool?
What?
No.
What the H is a Welcome to the Jungle?
You know you've heard Welcome to the Jungle because you've been to sporting events. I know they play it at sporting events, of which you've been, so don't give me that crap.
Even Izzy / and Axl Rose. Yes. I don't have any thoughts about that, but we do have Billy Gunn to talk about later on in the show. Okay. I'm going to open up this show with the Mr. Ass theme. Why not? We'll see if I get to the editing of that or not.
I love to hug him.
He loves to shake him. He loves to kiss him.
I love to shake him.
Yeah, yes. I don't know why he loves to kiss him so much. That seems counterproductive. But hey, he's an ass man.
You know what the Billy Gunn thing proves, and we're not going to go into it just yet, but the Lanza theory of buying tickets is correct. You don't buy tickets before you hear a lineup.
Whatever. New Japan is coming to the United States for true New Japan shows. You buy a ticket. You don't care what the lineup is. You're there to see the guys, and you're going to see the guys. You're going to see probably more singles matches than I would have expected beforehand.
True.
I mean, you're getting a U.S. title tournament. You're getting a Hiroshi Tanahashi singles match.
Okay.
I understand that Yoshihashi is getting a match, a singles match for a title in New Japan. Not at one of these shows. I don't believe it is. But you are getting a Hiroshi Tanahashi match. So what if it's against Billy Gunn? I'm not a hater of that match. That's a cool match. And you're getting a singles match from Tanahashi. What do you expect him to do? The guy's been selling an injury for the entire year, as he does every year.
And again, I liked that match better than actually the main event that everybody was raving about, the 60-minute draw. But I'm fine with it. I am. It's just one of those things where I think when the rumors started that it was going to be a couple of G1 shows possibly in Long Beach, everybody was salivating.
People were jumping the gun a little bit there, thinking they were going to be G1. G1 special in USA.
What you did there. Hold on. Jump the gun.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. William Jefferson Gunn, the third. You have, so we're talking about Billy Gunn, obviously, a former WWE superstar. Boom! Connection. You have a mini tournament, I guess, if you will. 4 matches, 8 men, a title for the IWGP US Championship, a new championship coming out. So you are going to have those 4 single matches on the first night of 2 nights of New Japan running in California here in the US. Plus, you have Kazuchika Okada versus Cody Rhodes in a singles match, an IWGP title defense in the U.S. That's pretty big. And then on night two, you're going to have the rest of the tournament matches plus Hiroshi Tanahashi and Billy Gunn. So, yes. And yes, you are correct. As you are stating, Cody Rhodes versus Kazuchika Okada is a possible ROH champion versus IWGP champion.
Oh, I think there's a possible title change. I've bought into that theory.
That Cody Rhodes is going to win and beat Kazuchika Okada?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think Cody Rhodes is the one, but
the story's there if they want it.
I think Cody Rhodes will be the ROH champion at the time, and I think you're going to have the IWGP champ beating the ROH champ single.
Mm, okay.
Suck it, ROH. That's what's going to happen. I think that's going to happen. I don't see Okada losing. But well, I guess if the whole story with Kazuchika Okada is that he keeps getting closer and closer to losing, and he just went to a 60-minute draw, I guess the next step would be to lose.
Rob, let's cut to the chase. Why I'm really upset.
Why are you really, really, really upset?
No Toru Yano.
Is he not on the shows at all? Yeah, he is. He's on the shows.
No, he's not on the shows.
Wow.
He was in the ROH shows in Vegas, but not here.
Yeah, that's sad for you. That's sad for you. You know who is on the shows, though?
Your Battle of Los Angeles champion probably this year. No, go ahead. Who? Hangman Page?
No, you got...
Jay Lethal?
Hey, you got an 8-man tag team match. Billy Gunn's first night before he wrestles Hiroshi Tanahashi. You're going to have Tanaka and Komatsu back in New Japan. You are going to have them on a New Japan show. Plus Yoshitatsu, because why not? That is the G1 special in USA talk here that you expected to open this week's episode of Shake Them Ropes. Yes. Shake Them Ropes, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Downcast, so many places. Take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. We are coming up on the final episodes ever of Shake Them Ropes, so go ahead and rate and review us. Tell us what you thought of the show.
Wait, what?
Excuse me? This is episode 215. Catch previous episodes on Audio Boom, as well as the voicesofwrestling.com website. And this episode, Jeff, as you are going out to recruit new partners of Shake Them Ropes.
I am so not.
Recruiting is very important. We've talked to you about it before on the show. Go out right now and try ZipRecruiter. You can't find the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to post on all the top job sites. And now you can do that with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com, you post your job to 100 of the best job sites out there with all one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, they don't depend on candidates finding you. They find the candidates. Over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. If you're trying to build a team, guys, you got to go to ZipRecruiter.com right now and build that team the smart and efficient way. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes, not just large, not just small, all sizes. And right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/shake. That's ZipRecruiter.com/shake. Try it today for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shake.
I'm using ZipRecruiter right now.
Yeah, you better be. Yeah, you better be. If your meeting tomorrow doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes.
No. The co-host joke. Our friend, not that Tom Green, is doing a charity show, the Dynamite Cup, and his son, who at Noli News, which is a fantastic thing. He does I think he's 4 or 5 years old, and he does wrestling news and wrestling opinion. But he's booking a Royal Rumble style match. And I've decided that this child is a prodigy and would be the new co-host should Rob leave after dying of eating a hat. And also just because his idea of a good match would be booking Bayley versus Braun Strowman and having Bayley go over. So I think his instincts are good.
I don't know. Braun's the top guy. I don't know if you can have Bayley beat Braun. I would.
Those are also the only two action figures he had at the time.
Okay. Interesting. While you're on the Twitter feeds of 5-year-olds,
yes,
doing very, very, very important work, watching Raw and SmackDown in preparation for this Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You are correct, sir. The only thing of importance on Raw was that Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar segment.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And it kind of got me hyped for Raw. And then the main event of the tag title match, I think, was interesting. When you were watching Raw and you saw the main event was going to be the best of three falls between the Hardys and Sheamus and Cesaro, did you expect it just to be a match with a victory and then Raw goes off the air? Or were you expecting something, maybe not a title switch, but after the match was over, at least something else happening, even if it was just the return of the Revival? I was expecting something to happen.
I might have, but that might have been, but I wasn't at the same time because I don't think they, I had bought into the theory of the big time Monday Night Football game theorem, where they put something on that's really big and the rest of it is utterly forgettable.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to go up against, in this case, the NBA playoffs.
It's certainly how it seemed to appear.
Yeah, so I wasn't expecting anything at the end, really. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even expecting a title change, to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be a go through the motions, two out of three falls.
Well, that's
match.
Why I thought maybe like the Revival coming back and maybe setting up an attack or somehow getting involved, because they're not the biggest stars in the block right now, but it would have been a cool moment. And then if you had people watching the basketball game and not watching Raw, you would get those people to either go to your social media or go to your website or watch the very next night. Like, oh, what happened? Did the Revival show up? Like, what? Maybe I should be paying attention more. But to end it with just the win, I mean, that's kind of how Raw's been the last year. You know, how many Raws have we seen where Dean Ambrose just wins a match and then the show is over? Or Kevin Owens when he was around. Roman Reigns winning a match and then boom, show's over. We don't get those cliffhanger moments anymore. I kind of expected us to get one. But Raw started, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar. Samoa Joe does the headbutt to Brock Lesnar. He takes him down, like he gets the better of it. And then he kicks Brock in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the turning point where I'm thinking, Brock's like, okay, fuck this guy. I'm going to murder this motherfucker.
I have the minions from Despicable Me in my head going, it's on, it's on.
He looked so pissed. Not like Brock Lesnar TV show pissed. He looked like, who the hell is this guy to kick me in the face?
That was Randy Orton accidentally getting split open a little bit too hard pissed. That kind of pissed. And every time my cynicism gets the better of me, I watch a segment like this and I go, this to me is the heart of great pro wrestling. And we want to get lost in a feud where we think there's legitimate animus. I'm sure Brock said, yeah, go ahead and kick me. It might have been a little bit too hard and he might not have been expecting it to be that hard.
Well, it looked as if that, you know, Brock was a little bit lower than he expected. Joe went for a kick and then he was kind of pushed into Brock because let's be real. There were 20 guys in the ring at the time. Like, you can't really control your movements too well.
When you tell me it's about a finely choreographed match or it's about putting smiles on people's faces, no, it's about fighting.
Yeah.
It's about an orchestration of a fight, and that hits my happy place every single time. Now, the one other just random throwaway about this pull-apart I watched, is Curt Hawkins also a free agent and on Raw now?
He's been on Raw, son. He was part of the Superstar Shakeup.
Was he? I thought he was a SmackDown.
No, he was a SmackDown guy originally. Then he was moved to Raw. He's wrestled on Raw before.
I only say that because he is, of course,
you forgot
my kayfabe cousin.
Yep, you forgot all about your cousin, Kurt. This was also, by the way, the return of Dash Wilder.
I saw that. I didn't want the Revival anywhere near that thing because that's the... you don't matter pull apart.
It was the so you don't matter pull apart. Like no Dean Ambrose, no Roman Reigns, no Miz. It was the you don't matter pull apart bra, and it was the return of the Revival. Oh my gosh. So sad. So sad for them. But yeah, that segment ruled, and then the rest of Raw was the rest of Raw. We did get one cool moment in the rest of Raw.
What, the Bayley hug moment?
No, that was not cool.
That was the opposite of cool.
The return and subsequent loss of Emma.
That was anticlimactic.
Quite the reaction. Well, the way they built that segment, like they did the return. Like, here we are talking about how they're not going to have the Revival return because no one's watching because of the NBA Finals. And here they bring back Emma when no one's watching because of the NBA Finals. And then I guess their justification is, let's bring back Emma. And then we'll have her lose because, hey, no one's watching. Then why even bring her back? But the way they put her on the heel side, like, she had to be the one to lose. You couldn't have Nia Jax lose. You couldn't have Alexa Bliss lose. They're the two title contenders.
No, you could have. You can always have Alexa Bliss lose, because this is the move to do it in. You do it in the multi-person tag match, and then you set up a contender for next time.
Yeah, but you can't, if you're going to put Nia Jax on her side, you can't have Sasha Banks beat her. You can't have, you know, unless they were going to book something like Nia Jax costing Alexa Bliss the loss, maybe. Yeah. No, but I otherwise, yeah. So you had, what, Sasha Banks tapping out Emma to finish this match with Alexa Bliss walking out. So Emma's back, hooray. Did not put her on the SmackDown side. Like I thought they might. They might have put her on the SmackDown side. Did not happen. Those were my takeaways from Raw. Emma is back, and Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar is going to be the greatest match in the history of all wrestling.
I'm thinking my instincts are correct on the Cass Enzo story.
It's starting to look that way.
But I, you know what? The traditional shake them ropes caveat, if they do it right, I wouldn't mind a Sasha Emma nice little program, as long as it's just not 50-50 if it's building up for a match, but that won't happen. But I'd like to see that. But yeah, no, after that first segment, it was kind of busy work for me. I did like the second bear segment for Miz, but other than that, yeah.
I think people popped a little bit for that, the bear. I want Emma to go in there and just destroy everybody. I want Emma to be the Brock Lesnar of that division or something, or something. Just start kicking people in the head. I want Emma to go into business for herself. That's what I want to see out of her. So yeah, that was Raw. And then SmackDown, of course, was the go-home, if you will, show to Money in the Bank. So let's talk about this Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up this Sunday on WWE Network. I got to resubscribe. I don't know if my subscription is still good for the network. I haven't watched it since, what was the last pay-per-view? Extreme Rules?
Yes.
This was the last time I watched this network. Anything good been on? Did I miss a Bring It to the Table?
You missed a Bring It to the Table Monday.
Oh, golly gee. Oh, darn. I guess I should go subscribe right now just so I can catch the encore.
Actually, NXT has been very good.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's... NXT always kind of, it's a strange roller coaster with NXT, because after a takeover, the very next night or the very next episode,
they have to build.
I mean, it's not even about that. The very next week after takeover is the recap show. Mm-hmm. Now, this one had a few matches because they taped some before the takeover, but really it's a recap show and nothing of importance really happens. So all this momentum kind of gets lost. And then the first week afterwards, you start to see directions building up and it's an interesting episode to watch. And that was last week. But now it's back to the, you know, there's 2 months before another takeover special. Who knows what they're going to give us? Right now it looks like they're giving us heel Hideo Itami, so that'll be a fun change in direction for him. They're giving us super babyface Roderick Strong, who has a newborn on the way, and can he take the title and get more money for his newborn son? And the women's title is still in flux.
I'm sorry. And his moderately attractive wife, or however Bobby Roode put it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Bobby Roode is really good in this role, but it's somewhat of a rebuilding time, but it's also like nothing that happens right now is going to be important at the next takeover, it seems. So what are we paying attention to? You know,
you're right on that moment, but while we're on NXT, real quick before we go into Money in the Bank, you're probably gonna say no. So I'll preface it with that. Any thoughts on this week's leak that Hunter isn't happy with Vince's direction on some of his NXT projects?
Well, I mean, I don't know. So what if he's not happy? What's gonna happen?
That's my exact thought.
And what NXT projects? Like what NXT projects are doing
the,
well?
No. The Bailey, Sami Zayn type of the way that they're being handled.
Yeah, Zayn won on SmackDown tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what I mean, though. Treating them kind of like geeks. Yeah. But again, look, I'll reiterate my position is that I think people are reading far too much hope, giving themselves a hope spot for when Vince leaves the company, that Triple H's voice is going to be the dominant one. I think Steph is still going to be very dominant, and her instincts are closer to Vince than Triple H's are.
I would agree, but Triple H will have a larger voice in it. I mean, he's not going to be competing with the father-in-law. He's going to be...
No, there will be more give and take.
Yeah.
But there will still be...
Not everyone can be a main eventer. Sami Zayn's going to be... Sami Zayn's been in a main event program ever since he's come to SmackDown.
Well, let's get into Money in the Bank then, but since Sami Zayn is on that.
He is.
And we'll go into more into Sami Zayn's...
Right.
Presentation on this show.
You're right with Bayley. Bayley's been a geek. She's been the worst. I mean, she is the absolute worst. And
it's heartbreaking.
And
for
it
me,
sucks.
Rod. You know
it,
that.
Yeah. No, I know. It sucks. It's not because of her by any means. It's just she's not the right fit for what they're doing on the Raw side right now.
She should be living on a gold boat right now.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't endear her to the kids, I don't think. Or do kids like gold boats? Are they big fans of gold boats? I'm not sure.
Boats in general, I think they don't like.
You don't think kids like boats?
Well, kids who live on the coast probably do.
Oh, okay. You don't think there's a kid in Idaho on the farm who loves boats?
I think there might be one.
There might be kids in this world who have never seen a boat. Not there might be. I know there are. They've never seen a boat. And that's sad.
Well, let's start.
Oh, you want to start so bad? You want to start so bad, Jeff? Go start. What match you want to talk about first? How about this Breezango versus Colognes match we're going to get?
I think it'll be decent. I think the Colognes did quite well for themselves in terms of that match, but that setup was garbage tonight. After the Usos came out, when they timed the Breezango entrance, that whole segment tonight was downhill. After that, it looked like they were going to start hot, like the Joe Lesnar feud with New Day and the Usos. And then it became clever little comedy, but at least, you know, at least the Colognes got, you know, some good moves in there before the end of the match. But I think the Fashion Police, which I think they're going to now be referred to as, get the win here.
Yeah, it seems like I was waiting for that to happen, too, because it's been Breezango even all throughout this Fashion Police stuff, and it's mm-hmm. now to the point where Fashion Police have gotten over enough to where that'll be their name. They are the
Fashion
Police.
Well, you see them, you can now hear them catching themselves on commentary, too, yeah. So I think that's why.
I'm not saying Breezango. I do like the New Day's gimmick. They have restored their gimmick of being friends with whoever interrupts them as long as they stand on their side of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who comes out. Like they're always a little hesitant to be friends with somebody, but as the Fashion Police comes out and they start mocking the Usos, like the New Day warms up to them a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're just friends. Like hey buddies.
Yeah, and this was Kofi's first in-ring action since coming back. I thought he was quite good in it.
Yeah, so that is probably going to be our kickoff show match. Most likely. I don't know who else on the roster at this point can be in a match.
Dillinger squash.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Maybe they put in that even on the main show. Maybe they just put a little short Ty Dillinger match on there. I don't know what we're getting with Ty Dillinger yet, so we can't really preview. I don't even know if the Fashion Police and the former Shining Stars will be a match. It just seems like it after this show. And we have the Ascension. Who knows what the Ascension will do, if anything. Plus, we did get tonight the return of Zack Ryder. We got on SmackDown, the return of Zack Ryder, and it looks like they're going to be a tag team. I actually did watch the end of Talking Smack tonight because the final segment on Talking Smack was Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. And I wanted to see if Mojo was going to be, warmed up to the idea. Mojo, yeah. If he was going to be warmed up to the idea of joining a tag team again after being a single star. I almost thought we might have gotten the breakup of that team before they could even restart on this Talking Smack show. But no, they are friends. They are tag team partners. They will be in the tag team division.
Once they talk
to Shane, by the way.
Yeah, we have enough tag team breakup angles going with Golden Truth and then with Cass and Enzo. We don't need another one just yet. If you want to plant a seed, that's fine.
You know that will be a team where Mojo turns on Zach at some point.
Really?
I think they
do it the other way. I think they have Zach turn on Mojo.
I guess. Well, you can do that. But that's a team destined for a partner turns bad.
Yes, that's a Golden Truth breakup waiting to happen after the goofiness gets over. Yeah. But I'm more concerned that you lied to our audience.
What did I do?
I haven't watched the network. I don't know if my network subscription is still good.
Here's the thing about me. All right. I don't care about contradictions. Quit trying to catch me. I'm going to contradict myself many, many times.
My hypocrisy knows no bounds.
That's right. I just, whatever take I last gave is forgotten as soon as I give the next take.
Rob, I think there are some Shake Them Ropes listeners who will never trust you again. They learned to love, and now you broke their heart. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to you kids out there.
Oh my gosh, you trust me? I'm the world's most
Fella. Much like this is not one of the last Shake Them Ropes episodes that you dropped earlier in this show that I know.
I get married in a few weeks. I don't know. The life may change a little bit. Oh, I don't know.
I don't have my invitation yet.
Oh, about that.
Talk about that after the show.
We won't, actually. Anyway, Money in the Bank. Yeah, we had Zack Ryder returning. The Usos and the New Day for the tag team titles. This is a match that's happening. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. My question to you is, which member of the New Day will not be in the match?
I'm going to go with Xavier Woods not being in the match.
Seems to be
going
right.
Going back to classic New Day, even though I thought that Kofi and Xavier worked quite well tonight, which is nice to see, given that they don't usually work together. But I think the Usos retain probably through shenanigans or through a blind kick or what have you. But I think this is the first match of a few for big cards.
I want the New Day to win. I want them to win decidedly. I want the Usos to go away, never come back. But I don't know what you do next with them. American Alpha's nowhere to be seen. There's a couple of guys that are nowhere. I would probably say the Usos are going to win too. We have SummerSlam just around the corner. You do a big New Day Usos tag team title match if you want to. Although I feel like with us getting on these big cards, the SummerSlam being a dual branded show, that the tag team divisions, the way they're at, actually on both shows right now, we're destined to where we're going to get those multi-man matches for the tag team division just to get everyone on the show. Like, we're going to have a four-way on the SmackDown tag title side at SummerSlam. We might have a three-way or a four-way on the Raw tag team title side. That on these big shows, you don't really see one team versus one team. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know if that's been true the last couple of big pay-per-views. No, but
this is their move with tag teams and with the women's division, is they just throw everybody in the match at once.
Yep, everyone in there, all the women. We talked about this last week when they finally gave Naomi a tag or a title match in the show. Very happy about that. I see some groans on the Twitter feed. I see some happiness on the Twitter feed. More groans, I would say, that Lana is the challenger on this show. But this is still the brand split. This isn't the most important match in the show. It's good that Naomi is getting a title defense on this show. When they announced the Women's Money in the Bank, I feared that Naomi would not be getting a match in the show. It's happening. It's a plus. I don't think Lana's going to win. And if she does, all hell might break loose. Because do you know, Jeff, right now, who is the favorite on all the UK betting sites to win the Women's Money in the Bank match?
No, I do not.
It's Carmella, and she's a big favorite. James Ellsworth may be getting involved. So you, in theory, could have heel Lana as the champion with a heel Carmella, like just hiding around, waiting for her spot. And then who becomes the challenger for Lana? Is it Charlotte? Is it Becky? Is it Naomi still for a couple of months? Like, it would create interest in the division just to see, like, what are they going to do? But I worry that Lana as the champion, especially with that horrible finisher. I mean, that finisher is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you got some discussion in the other neighborhood about your distaste for this finisher.
It's the dumbest finisher ever. First of all, it's like a whole minute of Lana trying to figure out where she wants to put her opponent's arms. And then it doesn't even play into the move at all. Like, there's a whole lot of unnecessary motion. And it's not unnecessary motion that's like flashy. It's like putting limbs in certain places. Like, someone tweeted at me because I posted about how this is the worst finisher of all time. Okay. Because basically it's a spine buster with a minute long setup that doesn't matter. Okay. Someone tweeted at me The Rock, like the people's elbow. That's a whole lot of unnecessary motion. At least it was flashy. Like, yes, it doesn't matter, but it's flashy. Lana's just putting an arm up here and putting a leg up here. Just do a goddamn spine buster.
There is no worse finisher than Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Clutch.
At least he's choking a dude out, all right?
Well, no. The one that was the atomic noogie, where he would grind the fist into the... what was that one? That's the one I was thinking of. The one where he would just grind a fist in the guy's forehead and the guy would submit or whatever. That's the dumbest finisher ever.
Well, yeah, that's dumb.
This is a story sports entertainment match. And so they're going to play the story out. I got news for you. Twitter's going to be upset because I think Lana's getting this title.
Ooh, Lana as the women's champion. Poor Naomi. I guess not so much poor Naomi that she did end up winning because she had a couple of roadblocks to her winning the championship. But poor Naomi.
Yeah, they see something in Lana, though. They see something in this. They hear the pops. I think they go with it here. I think Naomi gets her rematch eventually, but I think she is so mad at the way Lana did it, because she probably cheated, that she demands me put in the Money in the Bank match. I do. I think later in the match, Naomi is in that Money in the Bank.
Okay.
I don't think she wins.
You are going out on a limb there that Naomi will be in the Money in the Bank match. I don't see that happening, but maybe, hey, there you go. Hang your hat on it. That would be a good call if that ends up happening.
I will hang the hat you will never eat.
I already ate it. We just haven't gotten to that linear time yet. Like, life isn't linear, you know. I've gone to the
I think life is quite linear.
Oh, okay. All right. If you say so. Lana as the champion. So Naomi will have gone from winning the title to not wrestling for the title in the last pay-per-view to losing it in her first. This would be her first pay-per-view title defense, is it not? From WrestleMania?
Yes.
I think this is it. Ugh, and to lose it to Lana. I don't know. She probably wouldn't be happy about that. And then maybe she wrestles twice in that Women's Money in the Bank match, so be it. But yeah, Carmella, the number one favorite to win that match right now. Jeff, do you think WWE has gotten their money's worth from James Ellsworth?
I think James Ellsworth is one of the best investments for dollar to appearance that they've ever gotten. I think he's more than over-delivered. I think he's falling off the top of that ladder tonight, Sunday, in some way. I think he's probably getting a Bexplex at some point.
Okay.
You know, I love James Ellsworth. I think he's the most compelling thing at times about this women's division because they script it so poorly.
What does Carmella see in Mr. Ellsworth?
Like, you know what? If he helps her win this Money in the Bank, that's time well spent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think hopefully he treats her well, you know, do you think there's something going on at home? Like, he's good. You know, he does the chores and everything. He makes everything safe.
They're just friends.
Interesting. Just friends. Yeah. I don't buy that at all.
He's the one attacking Cass. Probably
something's happening. Before we get into the rest of the matches, I want to let the people know that if you have not already signed up for Blue Apron coming this June and July, you still have time. Still great meals happening at the rest of this month. I actually just ordered mine literally an hour before we went on the show, when I was definitely not watching the WWE Network because I don't know if my subscription is valid. I was ordering the meals. I'm getting some seared steak with potato fingers coming up. Yes, I ordered some food today from Blue Apron because, you know, we've been getting it for the last year and it is awesome. You need to try it. They are the number one fresh ingredient service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. So when James Ellsworth is cooking for Carmella at home, he could be cooking Blue Apron. He doesn't have time. He's on the road. Carmella's on the road. They don't have time to go out to the grocery store and shop for ingredients. Get ingredients delivered to you and then cook them easily. Blue Apron makes it happen. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, as does helping your lady win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Blue Apron is fantastic. Again, If you don't live alone, it's great to do as a group thing if you have a family or a significant other. I will put over their customer service as being absolutely fantastic because I had some questions. If you get an ingredient that's not up to snuff, they will replace it. They will give you plenty of credits to go along with it probably as well. They bend over backwards for the customers. I cannot recommend Blue Apron enough.
Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/shake. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait anymore, people. Go now. blueapron.com/shake. That's blueapron.com/shake. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match happening this Sunday.
Are we going to do the women's first, or are we going to do the women's later, or what?
Sir, we just did the women's Money in the Bank match.
You didn't pick a winner.
Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match coming up.
I think Charlotte's winning it. Go ahead.
Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, and my favorite to win the match, the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin. These are the six guys in this match. I thought it was funny. We talked about the Fashion Files earlier. We talked about the Fashion Police, Tyler Breeze, Fandango. A nice little Easter egg in tonight's Fashion Files where they have, Sami Zayn, a picture of smiling Sami Zayn on the board as a suspect with the word generic under him and their notes of he needs a mask. If they start doing more of those like subtle little hints, this thing even gets even better. Not even hints, but like subtle little jabs at the different characters on the show. I thought that was funny, but Sami Zayn gets the win on SmackDown this week, building up that, hey, even Sami Zayn might have a shot to win. He has no shot to win. Right now, I would put Baron Corbin as the number one possibility of winning, and I would have AJ Styles as second.
Nakamura got the briefcase at the end, so he is also not winning.
And it's a cool way that, I mean, not a cool way, but this is the type of match where he doesn't have to win, and he's not really getting a loss if he loses. Like, he just doesn't have to play into it at all.
Let's talk a little bit about Sami Zayn before I give my winner, shall we? I had a discussion tonight. I don't like this presentation of Sami Zayn. I know it's funny and humorous and things, but I always
is it humorous? Are you laughing? Are you laughing at the Sami Zayn?
I'm not because my cynicism kicks in that this is how we think of Sami Zayn type of thing, but it does entertain some people as I found out tonight. I am of the opinion that if they did this presentation, if this was El Generico being this overly enthusiastic dork as opposed to Sami Zayn, it would much like Blue Blazer Owen Hart would help Sami Zayn out a lot more because Sami Zayn still gets a great reaction from people, and I think it's hurting him in some ways. That's just my opinion. What's yours?
I mean, I'm going to ask the Twitter audience at Shake Them Ropes. Has Sami Zayn been entertaining the last few weeks on SmackDown? Cause I don't think that's coming back good for Sami Zayn.
I think the hardcores won't, but I think there's a certain, remember, we are different than their casual audience. I think there's a certain casual audience that likes this, that is entertained by him being a dork like this. But they're at the same time, they're viewing him as a dork.
Yeah. Well, no, he is a dork. I mean, we talked about it last week on the show that not only has he been a dork, but he's also Sami Zayn's Shinsuke Nakamura's cheerleader.
Yeah.
He was promoting Shinsuke Nakamura in the Money in the Bank match more than he was himself.
My issue is kind of the Bayley parallel in that straight ahead good guys always get just, they don't know how to write them. So it drives me a bit insane at times. Now, the one thing we did decide in talking, myself, Anna Boward and Sean Ross Sapp, which I thought was a brilliant idea, is that if you really wanted to let Sami Zayn win this, even though he has no chance, it would be great if he would talk himself out of cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase a few times and just having a referee just, are you cashing this in or not? Nope, not ready yet. He starts running down the the ramp, and they just got nope. I'm going back. I think that'd be in their entertainment style wheelhouse. But my opinion is that they give the false hope spot to Sami Zayn. Baron Corbin comes in, ruins Sammy's moment, grabs the briefcase.
If they went with that, it would also heel him out, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be the heel turn of Sami Zayn.
Why? Because Sammy would be uncertain. This was the time to cash in the Money in the Bank.
People would start getting annoyed that they're losing out on a big moment. They would start like booing Sammy for not actually cashing in. This would be a heel turn of Sami Zayn.
There's a way to do it where it'd be more for comedy than for.
And also heel-ish. who's going to cheer for a guy who chickens out a couple of times? If they did that story, that would be the unequivocal. Did I say that right? Hopefully, turn of Sami Zayn. That would not be endearing. That would not be comical. Eventually, like if they did that three or four times, you'd be hearing the boos. You'd be hearing the.
You know how they say that. They have Sami Zayn come out to cash, and then Baron Corbin just kills him on the way to the ring, so he can't cash in.
Okay, but that's a whole different story than him chickening out and wondering if it's the right time. If he stops from doing it.
Being uncertain and not chickening out, but you know how his character now is basically he talks too much. So in terms of strategy and things like that, so he would end up talking himself out of this being the perfect time.
I understand that you could get like the neurotic sympathy, like yes. If that's his character, if he's the Sheldon of WWE. Yes. But I don't think that could play well when you have a crowd who wants to see a cash in and wants to see Sami Zayn go for the title. Right. And then he chickens out every time.
You're right. In the end, that'd be blue balling the audience.
Yes, it would not. It would not be helpful. It would not be helpful at all.
But I agree with you. I think Baron Corbin's winning this because I think there's the reason that Sami Zayn has had his number all these weeks is to eventually have Sami Zayn appear to have one-upped him to get the briefcase and only for Baron Corbin to thwart him.
And it gives you flexibility whether AJ Styles is the champion or if Randy Orton is the champion at some point. No matter who becomes, hell, if John Cena becomes the champion on the SmackDown side at some point, it usually is kind of good to have a heel as that holder of the briefcase because it builds some heat for when he eventually does cash in and just beat the face champion easily. So
you
I
mean
think,
raw superstar John Cena?
Well, free agent. Free agent John Cena. Let's get into this before we talk about the main event of Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. Just out of nowhere, you know, John Cena, apparently his WrestleMania match was the last in a SmackDown contract. What a small contract he had.
That panic button is being hit.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be showing up on both sides for a short time. Probably more Raw than SmackDown. He's going to be on the July 4th SmackDown and then be on Raw a few times. And we'll see who, is that why Kurt Angle was so happy? Is that why Kurt Angle is now getting happy?
You know what? You know what is so mind-numbingly obtuse about this is that not only does it make you appear like you're panicking because of ratings and you need the stars over there in storyline, it makes Raw look like they're burying SmackDown and it makes the SmackDown quote unquote management look like complete and utter buffoons.
Well, if he signs with Raw, yes. If he signs with them, but right now he's a free agent. He hasn't committed to anyone yet. You think he's the opponent of Roman Reigns on at SummerSlam?
I think it's a possibility. They build it up as a dream match and you know that kind of I think it depends on if Strowman's back. They may do Strowman and Cena. That's a possibility.
Could do Strowman and Cena. Could do Roman and Braun again. Yeah, John Cena's going to be appearing on the big shows. He's going to be on. I don't know if he's going to be on Great Balls of Fire. Probably not. That would be a really short turnaround. Definitely going to be on SummerSlam. But then the winter's going to come and he's going to go away again. Like he does this. He'll go away. He'll come back for WrestleMania season, Royal Rumble. So why not just have him on whatever shows? Get him for the dates that you can get him on. That's the big thing. I'm not too worried about John Cena in storyline mode anymore because he's becoming closer and closer to that part-timer. He's as close to a part-timer as you can call a full-timer, really.
Yeah, Brock than him.
Brock than him, then Jericho, and Jericho's a different breed right now. Because when he is in, he's in gung-ho. house shows and all. But then he takes a step back for a brief time to go tour, and then he'll come back. So yeah, that's the John Cena story. Free agent John Cena. I mean, basically his nickname at this point until he signs somewhere. He is John the Free Agent Cena, coming back to a show near you, except if you're a house show town. He will not be there. You will not be seeing House Show John anytime soon. Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton. It is the WWE Championship match. And at this point, I believe it is just a basic match. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong at all. It is a straight-ahead forward typical match.
Straight-ahead rematch. Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal. This is a show because we have on the main roster right now, or on the main show, only 5 matches. The Money in the Bank matches are going long, both of them. The Usos and the New Day could be a 15-minute match there. Whether they add a Ty Dillinger match or someone else in a singles match, who knows? That'll kill 10 minutes or so. Jinder and Randy Orton are going to have to go 15 to 20. If you're timing the show out, even with the conservative estimates of doing like 3 and 4 minute video packages before each match, even adding a 10-minute match with Ty Dillinger, like the main event has to go at least 15, unless they're going to, end the show very, very early. This will be a big one. This will be a big one. And I do not see, after all the hype and after all the build, if the purpose for giving Jinder Mahal this big push is for emerging markets or just building a new star, building a new star who can be on the main event level when you're short of main eventers, especially with John Cena gone, whatever the motive is, having Jinder Mahal lose this title right now doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So I think Jinder Mahal is going to win. And what happens with Rusev? Does Rusev come back on this pay-per-view at all? And does he play a hand in the main event? Is he going to be another big push on the SmackDown side? There is intrigue in this match, not just for the match itself, but what will happen with the title and what will happen with any third parties who get involved.
I am not going down this Rusev interferes again road. I put my hat on that once, and I don't think they're going to pay it off. I think they're keeping Rusev off in order to get Lana over in some ways. I disagree with you that Jinder Mahal wins. I think Randy Orton wins by DQ. I think the Singh brothers get involved now, and whether or not Jinder sees this involvement is a different story, because there is a story there to be told that Jinder may win clean due to the Singh brothers interference and not realize it, and then get full of himself that he can beat Randy Orton on his own, because that's a story that's been told with Seth Rollins before. I also put out the possibility that Bob Orton may be an equalizer, but after I was reminded then of the way Undertaker got angry at Bob Orton for the Hep C thing, that they may not want to work with Bob Orton again for that reason, but that's what I was thinking was going to happen. But I think ultimately Jinder gets in over his head. They find a way to get DQ'd. Randy Orton wins, and that then puts a stipulation match for the title at SummerSlam.
All right, so stipulation match for the title. Randy Orton wins by DQ. So we're both in agreement that Jinder Mahal is the champion.
Jinder Mahal is the champion coming out of Great Balls of Fire, but out of Money in the Bank.
Heading into Great Balls of Fire, a show he won't be on, because that's the Raw pay-per-view with the big main event.
Thank you, Rob.
Of Samoa Joe and Mr. Brock Lesnar. It is time for a brand new segment inspired by a brand old segment on Shake Them Ropes. It is This Week in Astery. The one, Billy Gunn. I picked a good one for this debut segment, This Week in Astery. This week, the best of Billy Gunn. Did you know, Jeff, that in 2000, Steve Austin was in a storyline in WWE where he was looking for the culprit of who ran him over? Of course,
yes, I'm aware of this story.
Yes, it was a somewhat big storyline at the time. We of course found out that Rikishi was the driver of the vehicle that ran over Steve Austin. He did it for The Rock.
For The Rock.
Yeah, he did it for The Rock.
During also the GTV run during Raw?
I feel like GTV was a little sooner than that, but
okay.
It was around. I mean, it was all the same thing. I mean, it was all around there. It was happening. Billy Gunn was out for a little bit. He comes back in October of 2000, and his debut segment, his return segment as the one Billy Gunn, was being called a suspect in the running over of Steve Austin by Mick Foley. So Mick Foley brought Billy Gunn back to Raw to explain himself, to clarify whether he was or was not the driver of the vehicle that ran over Steve Austin. And I remember going into this segment that, and Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer was writing about it, and a lot of rumors back then that Billy Gunn was in for a big push coming, that they were rebranding him. He was going to be a big superstar on Raw. And here he is, his first segment back is against Steve Austin. And you're thinking, okay, Billy Gunn, Steve Austin, that's certainly a way to get, Billy Gunn back. It's probably a step down for Steve Austin, but it's a way for getting Billy Gunn back. He comes out, says he is not the driver. He was not the vehicle's driver running over Steve Austin. He didn't do it for The Rock. He didn't do it for anyone because he didn't do it. Goes on to talk about some information. This was the beginning of the feud of Billy Gunn and Steve Austin. But sadly, in the very second segment, Steve Austin eliminates Billy Gunn with a stunner, brushing him back to the mid-card, thus ending the feud all in the span of 5 minutes. This Week in Astory was the Steve Austin-Billy Gunn feud that lasted 5 minutes.
When is Gunn's ascent to King of the Ring?
That was well before. Oh, God. King of the Ring 99?
Oh, was it? Okay.
King of the Ring 99, man.
Look, I will never deny that Billy Gunn was always...
superstar.
Looked like a superstar. I mean, he's taller than you think he is.
Oh, he's super huge.
6'4". He's 6'4", and he's big.
He's
and
so
you're just
large.
Like...
he was towering over Steve Austin in this segment.
Yeah.
Big dude.
TV makes him shorter for some reason, or the Land of Giants makes him shorter, because in real life, you just look at him and you go, my God, he's built like a professional linebacker. And you know what, his matches in New Japan before this, they were perfectly, I mean, look, I think Tanahashi, my joke was Tanahashi is going to help Billy Gunn get to a 4.25 star match or thereabouts, and Billy Gunn's going to end up getting signed by the WWE for one last run.
Oh, I think he already had his last run. He could be.
No, he had the New Age. He had the New Age Outlaws.
That
run.
Was the last
I think
run.
He's making his own. Oh,
nah,
you think so?
That's the last run. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they can put him on the SmackDown side. Baron Corbin, Billy Gunn for your main event of WrestleMania.
He's 54, though.
He's old. Listen to this run. The 1999 King of the Ring. Billy Gunn went through Ken Shamrock in 3 minutes, and then Kane in 5 minutes, and then X-Pac in 5 minutes to be your 1999 King of the Ring. What a loaded show this was. Undertaker and The Rock for the title.
The absolute destruction of Billy Gunn after this King of, by Edge and Christian.
Mm.
In that promo after Edge won King of the Ring. Where he basically says, I don't want to Billy Gunn this title.
Don't Billy Gunn it.
That was absolute burial.
The very next pay-per-view was Fully Loaded. Listen to how Billy Gunn followed up his big King of the Ring victory. He lost in a tag team match. His partner was China. They lost to Road Dogg and X-Pac. Yup.
Of course. Yeah.
Yup.
Way that to was, follow up on making that new star, guys.
Oh, that was William Jefferson Gunn. But hey, Billy Gunn came back in 2000 to get stunned by Steve Austin. What a comeback. What a return. And then he was never the same again.
So did you watch that on the WWE Network?
I did not. I watched that on YouTube. That is a segment on the YouTubes. Because I was looking. I was trying to see what should I watch that's Billy Gunn. And I was like, I don't want to watch a match. I want to watch a Billy Gunn talking segment. And that's the first one that popped up. His return in 2000. I figured that it was probably going to be like a Billy and Chuck moment or like one of those DX skits where they make fun of Billy Gunn because he's the worst talker out of everybody.
Yeah.
But no, it was the return. Billy Gunn, 5 minutes in and out, getting stunned by Steve Austin. Mauro Ranallo announced by Bellator MMA today that he is the new announcer for certain selected events on Bellator. So he's getting back into the USM. Yeah, Mike Goldberg will announce the events that Mauro's not on, and Mauro will announce the events that Mike Goldberg is not on. So you got two new play-by-play guys, Mauro and Mike Goldberg. It sounds like Mauro's going to be announcing the pay-per-view coming up for Bellator, with Mike Goldberg announcing the Spike TV portion. So, yes, Mauro Ranallo back in MMA in the U.S.
So when Mauro does this, New Japan's coming calling, right?
Well, because they'll have because JR is done in January, so he's probably the next one up. Yeah, he's probably coming back.
My question, is Mauro purely Axis, or is there a three-man booth with Kevin Kelly involved, or does he replace Kelly completely?
What? Kevin Kelly isn't anywhere for like English commentary in New Japan?
Yes.
No, not on New Japan World. No, Mauro will be the Axis TV show.
That's what I'm checking. Yeah.
Yeah. But you never know. I mean, if New Japan like severs ties completely with the Ring of Honor, because really, if you're Ring of Honor, I mean, you kind of need New Japan stars for your big events.
I don't think Kevin Kelly I don't think the commentary team has anything to do with the Ring of Honor, though. That's a separate deal, because Kevin Kelly left Ring of Honor because they wouldn't let him do the New Japan shows and he wanted to.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. But Mauro will probably be announcing New Japan on TV somewhere at some point again, because I mean, they're going to lose Jim Ross at some point. So Mauro Ranallo getting back in the game. What do you think about Booker T? Booker T going to be on Raw commentary for a little bit longer. Looks like David Otunga is being transitioned maybe to pre-show events. You know, the movie's over, the movie filming, which was the excuse for him not being on commentary anymore. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's fully done with commentary and he's just going to be used in other situations. And Booker might be our full-time Raw guy.
I thought Booker was dreadful during that first segment. I wanted him to be more hyped for this fight rather than just kind of like, oh, here we go. You know, that kind of thing. I think he needed to convey that kind of emotion. This whole commentary situation across the board on every show isn't very good. So I can't say, wow, that's a real improvement over David Otunga. It's an improvement. I'm not sure if it's for the better because Booker has his own idiosyncrasies. And look, I love Booker T. I always find he kind of takes away more than he gives. I'd be much happier with just Cole and Corey Graves. But if this is the way they're going to go, you know, it's fine, I guess. If the problem isn't who's on commentary per se, the problem is the attitude towards commentary and how it's more about phrases and buzzwords and nicknames rather than an actual sports type feel for me. But that's my personal preference.
The poll this week at Shake Them Ropes: has Sami Zayn been entertaining the last few weeks on SmackDown Live? You can vote at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. 64% as of this moment say yes, Sami Zayn has been entertaining. And while you were talking there, Jeff, I did some research. I do indeed still have a subscription to the WWE Network.